Joel, from the band.
It's my first Sunday since we've moved the screen across, and I keep looking in the wrong place. I don't know if anyone else does that. But hopefully we're finding it's clearer now without the sun shining on it. So we've had this series, haven't we, since September. We've had a bit of a life of its own. This is the last one, because next week, of course, is Remembrance Sunday. The Sunday after that, we have Kevin Crook speaking on MAF, Mission Aviation Fellowship. Then after that, ready for this? We hit our Christmas series. That's like, whoa! That's how close it's getting, folks. So what we've been kind of looking at is this sense of living well as church together. And we started with serving well. We've done five others. What have they been? Praying well, worshipping well, loving well, giving well, welcoming well. Oh my goodness, this is fantastic. I didn't think we'd get 100%. This week, following what has been we've been particularly exploring and indeed voting on this year, and following us joining the Inclusive Church Network, I want to close this little series by looking at including well. What does the Bible have to say about churches being inclusive, and how do we do that well? And the thing is, the problem I have this week is there's plenty of passages in the Bible which speak of God's love for and our need to look out for the poor, the needy, the disadvantaged, the oppressed, the marginalized, the other, the alien among us, those who don't fit in, those who are excluded. So I wasn't too sure deciding which reading to go for until I checked the Inclusive Church website and noticed that they suggest the reading that George brought to us from the Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to come to that a little bit later. But first, I just want to share some general thoughts about this. We hear a lot, don't we, these days about equality, diversity, and inclusion. Companies produce their EDI policies. As a good employer, we too have an EDI policy as a church. And so we should, because the Bible actually has a lot to say about equality, diversity, and inclusion. And perhaps without even thinking about it, the Bible has had quite a role in shaping our understanding of all three of those areas. For starters, the Bible is rammed with references to equality or inequality, with references to the idea of justice and fairness to all, especially the marginalized and oppressed. And it calls upon the rest of us, all of us, to advocate on behalf of those who are unjustly treated, those not treated with equality. It's about everyone having equal opportunities, equal access to resources, equal rewards for the work that they do. And just looking around the world, we know that isn't always the case. As regards diversity, the Bible makes clear that every individual, regardless of their social or cultural background, is made in the image of God and therefore is uniquely valuable. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We should therefore embrace diversity within a Christian community, because everyone has equal worth in the eyes of God, even if they are different to who we are. In fact, we should recognize and celebrate diversity, celebrate difference. I believe it makes the world a much more interesting place. If this world was full of 8 billion Darren Smiths, oh my good, yes, yes, I can see some of your faces, you're really worried at that thought. But let me be clear, if this world was full of 8 million Pete Crookles as well. It is great that we're all different and we can celebrate that difference. Then we come, of course, to inclusion, the I of EDI, which I believe is central to the Christian faith. The freedom, the blessing, the redemption that Jesus offers is for everyone. The message of the gospel is an all-inclusive message. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, as those who choose to call on the name of the Lord, as those who choose to follow Jesus, there are things that we know we have to change in our lives. I know there's things I need to change in my life to be able to grow more and more like him, to be able to follow him well, to be the people he wants us to be. But one thing that we shouldn't be doing, especially as a Christian community, one thing we shouldn't be doing is ourselves deciding who we wish to exclude from the gospel message. If we choose to do that, then there is a likelihood that we might get it wrong. There is a likelihood we may end up excluding people we shouldn't, especially if we end up excluding those who aren't like us, those who aren't the norm. It's something we have to be very careful because it's very easy to do. And of course, we need to be extremely careful not to pick out particular Bible verses and use them out of context to give rationale to our exclusion of others, which is sadly easily done, particularly those who would be considered outsiders. You know, Jesus spent a lot of time with people who were considered outsiders in the community in those days. And it wasn't just a case that he tolerated them. He welcomed their company. He chose to spend time with them, to eat with them. And he was criticized, of course, by the Pharisees for doing so. We need to be careful that we don't become like them, like the Pharisees. So who might be considered as outsiders today? And as we think on that, we do need to remember that it's humans, it's us, that create outsiders. God doesn't exclude people from his love. It's offered to all. It's then up to us if we choose to accept it, and if we then choose to follow his ways. And different people may have a different idea as to who they consider an outsider, who they think should be excluded from the good news of Jesus. An asylum seeker, a homeless street sleeper, someone with different coloured skin to our own, a person who falls in love with someone of the same sex, someone who has a mental illness. You know, in some cultures, in some churches, including even in this city, I'm sad to say, women might find themselves considered as outsiders in that they cannot take part fully in roles in churches. Now, thankfully, that isn't the case here. I think that's evidenced by the fact that we have an all-female diaconate. And I praise God for them and what they do. So inclusion is an important topic. But what about this passage we heard from Luke's Gospel, which Inclusive Church suggests is worth exploring on this subject of inclusion? What we have here is Jesus again with some Pharisees, and again they are not happy about the company that he's keeping, about those he's willing to include. But he doesn't get into a heated argument with them. There's no throwing of scriptures about. Instead, what does he do? He tells them stories. Stories that show God's love and forgiveness are always there, waiting for everyone. We hear of both the shepherd and the woman putting time and energy into bringing back into completeness that which was incomplete. A sheep, in the case of the shepherd. A coin, in the case of the woman. Jesus is indicating that his mission is to everyone, that he seeks to include, not exclude. Of course, the religious establishment didn't like that. Do you know what? It was a scandal in their eyes. He was turning their world, he was turning their worldview upside down. He was revolutionizing their religion. He was attracting the attention of those that the Pharisees thought he shouldn't be including. But the stories he tells them reflects the overwhelming joy of then finding that which was lost. Did you notice in both of those stories that George read to us, there were celebrations with friends and neighbors as a result of what they found? The shepherd and the woman would not give up until they found what they were looking for, because the sheep was important to the shepherd and the coin was important to the woman. And God won't give up or push away those he wants to find and include in his kingdom, because everyone is important to him, including you and including me. Including those considered outsiders, those who it was considered didn't fit the bill, those considered bad company, those who we might think shouldn't be saved. The thing is, the outsider, the one who is excluded by others, is important to Jesus. God shows no partiality, no favoritism. He is not racist, he is not sexist, he is not ageist. Everyone is included in his love, and no one is excluded. He gives and still gives, he gave and still gives his spirit to all people. You know, one of my favorite books, actually, it's called Joel. Isn't that wonderful? And in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. You're included in that. Wherever you're from, however old you are, however God created you, you are included. Even those of you who are at home, you're included too. So what does including well look like? I want to suggest it looks a bit like this. At Worcester Baptist Church, all people are welcome, and all means all. We believe that all people are created in the image of God, that all people are of sacred worth, and that Christ died for all people. We believe that God's radically inclusive love excludes no one, and as such, we welcome and include everyone to share in our life together, regardless of age, disability, economic power, ethnicity, gender, gender identity, learning disability, mental health, neurodiversity, or sexuality. Everyone is welcome to attend services, events, and to serve according to their giftings. Baptism and membership are available according to professed faith in Christ, and leadership is open to those suitably gifted. Our welcoming of everyone includes those who may struggle with our commitment to offer full participation to all, and calls each of us to graciously live together in the community of Christ, regardless of our differences. And that, of course, if you don't already know, is our inclusion statement. And that is including well, as long as we truly live it out. You know, someone, when they first read the statement, when I emailed it out to the church in July, replied, love it, love it, love it. Now we just need to live it, live it, live it. That expresses it perfectly. And that's why we're running once a month sessions on the evenings to explore how we include well in a number of different areas. And thanks to those who have come in great numbers to the first two. They've been eye-opening. They've been really great to attend. The next session is at the end of November, and then we have a break because this thing called Christmas, and we restart at the end of January. I would encourage you to come along to those, if you are able, and to explore how we perhaps sometimes inadvertently exclude in churches when we should be including. The good news of Jesus is one of radical inclusion. And this isn't about us showing how tolerant we are or how woke we are. This is about God's love for all of creation. Even, if I may add, even you lot. Love, which sees right to the heart of a person, to who they really are. Love that welcomes in and includes. Love which draws us closer to God and to one another. Love which rejects the world's desires of status and power and lifts those who have been dismissed, shunned, excluded by others into the heart of God. The God that we worship, the God that we have been singing to this morning, the God that we were praying to this morning, is a God of extravagant love and opened, armed inclusion. And the idea of inclusion runs right through the Bible. A call for equality, diversity, and inclusion to be the norm of life. We are now an inclusive church. So now we need to make sure we are doing what we can to include well. Let's pray. Father, I stand here this morning. I am just so relieved that you're even prepared to include me. And Lord, I praise and bless you that you include this lot too. Father, help us to never be people of exclusion, people who seek to show the love of God to everybody, the people who seek to not make decisions based upon people being different to ourselves. I pray your blessing upon all at this church, all that we know. Lord, help us, along with many other churches, to be a place where people can come and feel safe and welcomed, but more than that, where they can feel included. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right, Joel and the band, back up.